All right, last week we were out on spring break vacation, and we had a great time. As we were talking about yesterday, it was only a one-week break, but it seemed like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, it was
because
nice.
The first day we were off was Saturday, and that seemed like a normal day. But Sunday seemed like 3 days off. Monday seemed like a day, but Tuesday seemed like 7 days off. And then Wednesday seemed like 4 days off. And my wife and I love to travel, but we decided that our last few vacations have been pretty hectic, and we have not done a staycation in a long time where you just stay put at home and get stuff done around the house. And it does seem like when we go away somewhere and we come back and we have all this stuff to do around the house, but then we're right back into the normal daily routine of work and parenting, and you don't have time to do that stuff.
Nope.
So we said we're going to carve out specific time and we're going to do a lot of spring cleaning. So that was our first task, was to just do spring cleaning. The garage really needed it. Some rooms in the house really needed it. The yard really needed it. And so the first day that we set aside for spring cleaning, we set aside for the garage. And this really needed it because I keep the garage fairly orderly and it's clean enough to park our cars in there.
Should have given you my opener while I was out of town. You'd be appalled.
I'm sure I would. And you would probably, since you have an appalling garage, you would probably look at our garage even before the cleaning and say, that looks pretty squared away.
Yeah.
But when you really get down to it and there's a closet in the back of our garage that I hadn't really touched in a long time, it needed a cleaning. So that day that we cleaned the garage, we had 4 giant contractor bags of just trash.
Wow.
I had taken 6 or 7 large items just out to the curb for the bulk trash, which was coming later that week.
So even you had stuff that you didn't need.
1 carload of stuff to Goodwill and 1 carload of stuff to the Genesis Women's Shelter.
Okay.
To their thrift store. So it was 4 contractor bags of trash and junk, stuff that was donatable, 2 carloads of stuff that was donatable, and then a bunch of other stuff just set out onto the curb. And that was from a squared away garage.
See, I'm telling you, that's why Gordo and I are overwhelmed by everything. It's just, I don't know where to start.
Yeah, I know where to start. Buying a blowtorch.
Fire.
Yep.
I can't imagine if we got that much out of the garage, how much you must have.
Ugh, it's terrible.
I mean, it would be 20 contractor bags.
Yeah, and a truck.
And a truck.
Yeah, if someone is thinking about starting up a new country, I could probably have them furnished.
Yeah, we can probably get you started with a lot of things.
I did set aside a lot of stuff. I had a lot of old bike parts that I was keeping for no apparent reason. And so I've got that in a pile now that I'm going to sell. A lot of old sporting equipment, like old tennis rackets, an old set of golf clubs, our old hockey gear from our charity challenge days.
Retiring from hockey?
I've just been sitting on that for, when's the last time we played? 15 years ago?
At least.
It's just been in that closet in the back of the garage for 15 years. So I've got a pile of that stuff that I need to take to
bring it to Dressers and Dog Kennels.
Yeah, to maybe our shop.
Dressers and Dog Kennels is going to be great.
Secondhand sporting goods store. Old baseball glove. A couple old baseball bats. Just stuff that was sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah. I know. The sporting equipment. See, we've got the kids' sporting equipment, too. So if
you
I throw that
out, you need to quit running a museum for your children.
That is, it's theirs. Maybe it means something to them. And we have that hanging over our head.
If it meant something to them, they'd have it.
I'm with you. Trust me. I'm on your side.
Okay, but who's making the argument? Are they the ones who are holding you hostage, or is she holding you hostage on this stuff? Or all of them?
Who always hold? Both, yeah, both sides. I've been held hostage now for 30 years.
That's the story of man. Have a family. It'll be a great deal.
I'm just there to haul
house against you and hold you hostage.
I provide and I haul stuff and I store stuff. That is my purpose in life.
Speaking of that, of stuff keeping for kids, that you're keeping for kids or your parents kept for you, in the garage, I found a bag that I remember, it was just a trash bag that my dad gave me many, many years ago, of stuff from my childhood that they were keeping.
Okay, this ought to be good. What was in there?
And they kept, they didn't keep a ton of stuff, but again, we also grew up in a time where we didn't have a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Like kids today and over the last 20 years, they live with a lot more stuff and they get a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
So my parents always kept some stuff. There was a bag of old clothing, just a small bag though. And the bag that my dad had given me a few years ago, it had a lunchbox in it, NFL helmets lunchbox.
Whoa.
It had a couple folders that I had kept of all the statistics that I kept when I played dice baseball or electric football.
Okay.
My
man.
Teams and my, and I want to keep those because it's hilarious.
Need to bring that in for show and tell.
Yeah.
The NFL helmet lunchbox.
Like a monthly show and tell on the show where we bring in stuff.
Okay.
It's a good idea.
To impress each other.
I had some little old plane models that I had made, some old Hot Wheels cars, things like that were in this bag.
Your models made it through your adolescence when you start blowing that stuff up.
Yeah. After you learn what M80s are.
Right. There were a couple of old books, old sports books. There were some report cards from high school and college in there.
I'm sorry, these are just unsatisfactory.
D. Oh, B. D,
hey, okay.
D, D.
Hey,
double D's are always welcomed.
Yeah, P.E. was a B. There were some old folders from school, from grade school, high school, and college. A couple of grade school projects that we had done, like a little book that we had made at Christmas for every parent in the class. And I kept all of that stuff.
See, Gordo gives me a hard time about keeping that stuff for my kids.
Yeah.
What should we do with it?
I don't know. My job's just giving you a hard time. I'm not into all the details.
Well, I think you do need to pare it down. Because, like I said, my dad just saved one bag. Sounds like you have a garage, an attic, and rooms full.
Yeah. Well, we're talking, you know, three kids, too.
Yeah.
And a lot of their stuff. And, yeah, some of my old stuff, too.
Yeah, well, we had two kids in our family, and I think my sister also had a bag.
Yeah.
But, again, we grew up with a lot less, and your kids grew up with a lot more, and kids today are growing up with even more.
I know.
Because you got to get them new toys all the time, and there's just, we're in such a consumer world that kids feel like they've got to have so much stuff, and they get gifts all the time, and so it's different. We've already, though, started thinning the herd with our daughter. That was part of the spring cleaning. My wife went through all of our daughter's clothing and, you know, stuff that doesn't fit now, made giant bags. I think she had four or five bags that she took to the women's shelter, four or five bags that she took to a friend who's got an eight-month-old, you know, because a lot of those were hand-me-downs that we got from her friends.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you got to quit those because it doesn't fit.
You must have quit.
Yeah, you got it.
The place that I ran into the most difficulty was the guest bedroom closet. And that is a storage closet, basically.
That's the catch-all.
And in the guest bedroom closet, I found a bunch of my old stuff, not from childhood, but from high school, college, and adult life. Boxes and boxes of pictures. Boxes and boxes of letters that I had saved. Like when I moved,
letters from listeners? Do you save all of those?
I save all of those, yeah. When we moved from Oklahoma City to Dallas when I was in high school, all my old friends from Oklahoma City wrote me letters for the next year and a half. A
couple of Danny Gandra letters in there.
Tons of Danny Gandra letters and Mark Wilmus letters.
Made-up name. Made-up name.
Rich Chesley letters.
No, oh, yeah, Rich.
So made up.
Mike Schmidt letters.
Okay, be creative.
A Hall of Fame baseball player. Okay.
Jorge Quintana letters.
Hey, wow. That's a little more creative.
Letters from some of the girls in class that I had crushes on that I didn't realize they were, you know, liked me enough to write me a letter, but they did.
What are some of their names?
Yeah, they on Facebook?
Yeah, Cruise by Facebook. See them. Probably
yeah, I've gone back and friended them.
220 pounds each, wearing the red cap.
And you know what? I ended up throwing a lot of them away.
Oh,
yeah,
dude.
I think, no, he did the right thing.
I just, you got to make some hard decisions. It's
no,
like
you right. scan it.
It's
all
like
and
getting
put it
the
online.
Roster down to 53.
Right. Tyron Smith, that was painful.
Yeah, you
got to
make some
letters.
Hard calls.
Yep.
And I kept some of them, but I got rid of a lot of them.
How many of them did you read? What percentage did you read versus just throwing them out without even really reviewing them?
I probably read a third of them.
Mm.
But I hadn't gone through and read any of them in 20-plus years.
Yeah, but you, if you had read all of them, you may have found some things that sparked your memory that you'd completely forgotten about.
Yeah.
But you didn't want to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't have time for that, Gordon.
No.
I just didn't have time. I found a box, a shoebox full of letters and notes and pictures from an old girlfriend. It was my college girlfriend.
Ah, that's a big one.
Threw all of that out.
Dude.
No need. You didn't have need for that.
You could have at least given it to me and let me read it, see what's up.
And I kind of, you know, during my single life and most of my adult life, I've kept all that old stuff just because I didn't throw any of that stuff away. But now, happily married with a daughter, is there any reason to keep old girlfriend stuff? Like, no. I don't recall my dad or my friend's dads keeping old girlfriend stuff.
No.
I think you throw all that stuff away, right?
Right, yeah.
George said that she made him throw it away.
No, she didn't. She did not.
I don't want your old letters from her lying around here with all those crude
Trust
anatomical
me.
Drawings.
What?
In them.
Now, I did keep, there. I found another giant box of pictures from high school, college, and early adult life, and there were a lot of old girlfriend pictures in there, prom pictures, things like that. I didn't throw those away because those are also kind of the story of my life and my daughter may one day want to see. Like when my sister and I were going through my dad's stuff, there were a couple pictures in there of him with women and we were like, wow.
Who's this?
Who is this? And we found that mm-hmm. an interesting element to his life that we didn't really know about. And yeah. so we enjoyed seeing those old pictures. It wasn't weird or anything.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Keep a couple old pictures.
And it feels a lot weirder to throw away pictures than it does letters.
Why? To me, words are the more precious things.
And I kept every letter that I found from my parents mm-hmm. or my sister. I kept all of those. It's just letters from Danny Gandra that I threw out.
Yeah, those are probably.
Sorry, Danny.
Not all, Danny. I kept a couple. But kept all the pictures. I feel really weird about throwing out pictures, especially since there are so few from our childhood.
And you'll just store them they'll be in a box?
Yeah.
Somewhere?
Yeah. Yeah. To make it feel like I was doing something, I just transferred those from a shoebox to a bin, a plastic
yes,
bin.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So very official.
Yes.
It just felt, new bin. Maybe a new
that's
bin
archival.
That you bought.
That's yeah. an archival bin.
Yes, yeah. exactly. It just made it feel a little more squared away and like I had accomplished something. And then got to the yard, did a lot of yard work, planted some veggies in the garden, and felt good to trim some branches and things like that, trim a few trees. So all in all, spring cleaning, I think, went really well, and I'm really glad we stayed at home and did all that.
See yeah. there?
That's a big accomplishment.
Staycation's great.
Yep.
You guys used to kill me for them.
That's because it's all you would do.
No, that's not true. I wouldn't do every vacation like that. And I wouldn't forget that we're going on vacation. We would go places. But when you start having kids, and we had three of them, and you start having Little League games and all that, you can't necessarily
yep. and travel,
go to London.
And travel becomes more difficult
yeah.
when you have kids.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than the vacation when you come home and you're exhausted at the end of it. And you're like,
yeah.
man, I sure wish I had a few days off. I've got to go to work tomorrow, but I need a few days off.
I know.
Also on staycation, George, I went to visit our longtime mentor, the guy who taught us sports broadcasting back at then North Texas State University, now UNT, the great Bill Mercer.
Oh, that's great.
And we had our buddy Don Harris from San Antonio, who's been a TV sportscaster down there forever. He came up last October, and he went to see Bill, and he said, you got to go. He and his wife went, and they had a great visit with Bill. So I've been in contact with Bill, and I said, I'm going to come see you. And I saw recently our buddy Craig Way and Ted Emmerich and so many members of the Mercer Mafia who learned the craft at North Texas, went to Bill's sports broadcasting class. They've gone to visit him. Bill is now 98 years old.
How about that?
And you cannot believe how good he looks and how good he sounds and how sharp his mind is. And the Mercer Mafia is quite large, and Bill said to say hi to all of them. You know, it's us, and it's Craig Way, and it's Mark Folliwell, and it's Rich Phillips, and Sean Bass, and so many people who've come through the ticket, and so many people that you've heard, Dave Barnett, and
Ted Davis, the former voice of the Bucks.
Ted Davis, and the great Ted Emmerich is doing so many good things now.
He always said he wished that I was one of his students, that I would have been one of his prize
how
pupils.
He would have handled Gordo.
Yeah.
That really would have been interesting.
He would have loved me.
It's unfair to try to list all of the Mercer Mafia because there are so many of us.
Yeah.
And Bill is the common thread. He got all of us going and kindled our love for broadcasting and sports broadcasting in particular. So we drove up to his place of residence now in McKinney and had the best visit. It took my wife and daughter, and we were in his place for 90 minutes and just had so many laughs, and he told so many stories, and he was just so happy that everything's gone so well for us at the ticket. I told him about being inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame, where he is also the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. He just thought that was the greatest thing. And
what an interesting life he's had.
Really interesting life. Starting out as a newsman and sports reporter, Channel 4 in Dallas, and KRLD Radio. And
spoke to Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yes. He was all over that Kennedy documentary where he talked about a few months ago, back in November.
Yeah, we talked to him a lot about that, and he told us about the making of that and how many takes they had to do in interviews and some of the stuff he found out, you know, throughout the process that even he didn't know. And he had great stories about that time. And then, of course, he was the voice of the Dallas Cowboys on radio, the voice of the Texas Rangers on radio, later the Chicago White Sox, longtime voice of North Texas football. And I posted a picture of Bill and I on Instagram. I'm at Junes Miller. If you want to see how great he looks at 98.
Incredible.
And I'm telling you, his mind is as sharp as it was when we met him 40 years ago.
Yeah.
But so many of the comments on Instagram are, I grew up with him as the voice of wrestling. And he was the voice of the Sportatorium. And so many people, even though he was the voice of the Cowboys and the Rangers, they know him from wrestling.
Yeah.
And I got so many great comments from wrestling fans saying that he's the voice of my childhood and he was, you know, my idol growing up. And Bill even talked about that new Iron Claw movie that he's in, not as himself, but there's a character that plays Bill Mercer. He said, the guy that they hired to play me is 6'1", and I was 5'7" on my best day.
Bill's a little guy.
He talked about the relationship he had with the Von Erichs over the years. It's just a fascinating tale.
Yeah, and he helped a lot of people get into wrestling. Stone Cold, I think Bill gave him his first, you know, break and told him the people to talk to. And when we would go travel doing North Texas games, remember we'd show up at a Louisiana restaurant and it was like we were traveling with Elvis, with Bill.
Yes.
Everybody knew who he was because of wrestling, and that was syndicated throughout the Southwest.
And back then, we were blown away by how many people knew him from wrestling in this part. And we were also told that he was one of the most popular figures in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And because those wrestling shows
those
were
packages over there.
Syndicated over there. And so they knew Bill around the world.
Yeah.
So that was a real treat to get to visit Bill. And he said to tell everybody up here at the ticket hi, and he's proud of all of us.
Oh, that's great.
So thumbs up on the staycation. Had a great time. Recharged my batteries for work. And I'll do another one soon.
See, it's not all bad.
You can get a lot accomplished.